Welcome to the Maine State of Mind podcast. I'm your host, Justin Soderberg, here live in Maine. I love it. Thank you so much for embracing the new name and the new podcast theme in a sense. I'm excited for the future and I'm excited for everything that's coming. Today, we welcome Maine State Senator Joe Baldacci to the program. Senator Baldacci was able to talk about what he's trying to accomplish for Maine and for the greater Bangor area when he's in Augusta voting on legislation and bringing up bills. And this includes a bunch of different things based around COVID and the pandemic, but also a passenger rail that he's hoping to get a study done so that we can get a passenger rail that brings you from Bangor to Brunswick to Portland to even Boston to make things in transportation in Maine better, faster, and easier. So hopefully that gets done. Hopefully he gets that done. Just to remind everybody, be sure to follow us on Instagram at The Maine State of Mind. We're also on Facebook, The Maine State of Mind, as well as subscribe on Apple and Spotify. And if you want to, on our YouTube channel, leave reviews, like the stuff. The reviews help us bump up in the podcasting lists and do great things for me in the podcast. So please, please, if you can, and you're listening on Apple, pop over there, give it 5 stars, give it a little bit of words review on what you liked about the podcast, what you'd like to see happen, and so on. This is episode 37 of the podcast, The Maine State of Mind, with Senator Joseph Baldacci. Enjoy, guys. Thank you. How's it going, Joe?
Very good. How are you doing, Justin? Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. I'm doing well and trying to stay safe. Yeah. Working from home most of the time right now. And
yeah
it is. But you know how it is.
Yeah. Congratulations on your wedding. And are you expecting?
Yes, we are expecting. We're having a baby boy this summer. Thank you very much. We're really happy to our COVID baby, because we had nothing better to do during COVID right now. We're really, really, really excited for that. And she's, my wife Taylor is healthy and the baby's healthy. And so
that's great. Very happy.
Thank you very much. Yeah, as a father yourself, I appreciate that. I actually saw you on Saturday morning. We got, afternoon, I should say, pizza at the new Bangor sandwich shop.
Oh, yeah.
Downtown Bangor. And you were leaving your office and you crossed the crosswalk on State Street. And I was like, no, he's too far away.
Thanks for not running me over.
Yeah, exactly. Driving by.
Yeah, that's a good place to go for pizza.
I was very impressed, honestly. Yeah. It's nice to have something different for pizza. Right. I think that a lot of the pizza in Bangor is great. It's just a very similar style. And I think having that Detroit style pizza is really good. So
yeah, it was good. So. But, yeah, so I'm excited to be on. Obviously, things are busy with the legislature. Trying to do meetings by Zoom is challenging and different for people, but I think we're getting it done. So I'm on two different committees. I'm on Health and Human Services, which has oversight over the Department of Health and Human Services, which is a lot of different moving parts there. And I'm chairing the State and Local Government Committee, which deals with jurisdiction over local and county government administration, as well as the State Department of Financial Affairs, which administrative services, which handles, it's like the accountant for the state of Maine. So we just had a meeting with the commissioner Figueroa about state finances. And also we had a public hearing last week regarding a bill from Representative Rachel Talbot Ross from Portland seeking to require racial impact statements on any new proposed legislation. Obviously, there's a history of racial inequity in the state, and the systemic racism pretty much, everywhere, in our society. But the idea of this is that people can evaluate laws and to make sure that disparities are reduced or minimized or dealt with. I think we all know that we have a long ways to go in terms of education and awareness and attitudes. And, the COVID crisis is a particular point because the racial disparity in terms of people affected in the state of Maine and elsewhere is disproportionately non-white population. So I think it's important that we understand all aspects of legislation, not just how it's going to affect us, but how it's going to affect everyone else in the state. So those are some of the things. We're also working on the supplemental budget, which the governor has presented. And one of the things that I worked on, voted on last week, was to add money to the pay of direct care providers. There's over 10,000 what are called DSPs, or direct service professionals, that help care for elderly, disabled people in the state of Maine. And they work at or around minimum wage. And obviously there's a labor shortage. So we have at least passed in Health and Human Services. We have to see where it goes with the rest of the legislature, but to provide a 25% rate increase for their pay to hopefully not lose more workers and to attract some additional workers. But it's a lot of things going on because of the pandemic and trying to prevent things from getting worse, basically, for a lot of people.
It is interesting because I work from home now, so I have a TV above my desk that I've been watching a lot more news. And it's one of those things that I felt like until I hit my 30s, that I didn't pay attention to what was going around the world around me more than the past year, basically. I mean, 34 now, but like the 2020, you know, pandemic has made me think about everything and watching everything on the news, including the end of our former president's tenure and then into Biden's tenure as president. I've learned so much more. And one of those things was the racial imbalance, I should say, on, you know, vaccines and the way it's affected the COVID crisis and so on. But I didn't really even, it didn't even like come to my forefront until I started actually researching it. So it's nice to see people doing things to try to fix this. And you're doing what you can, obviously, with legislation. But also we need to just change our attitudes and our minds on the whole thing too. I mean,
right. I think it makes for a better future for everybody when we have a more open and tolerant society. I think that actually, even from just an economic standpoint, attracting people here requires us to be open and tolerant of other cultures and other ways of doing things, particularly if we want to grow. We've had very stagnant populations, so we should be all over the idea of welcoming people and being tolerant and opening ourselves up to different cultures.
I think with the pandemic, everything that's happened, you know, from riots and to all that stuff, I think it reinvigorated people that know that we're not past racism, that racism isn't something part of our past, but it's actually something that's currently happening. And I think a lot of that came to light this year, or for more broadly and more obvious to people, that is an issue in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. But in terms of main issues, I mean, we have our own economy. We got to keep floating and improving. And hopefully the Congress will pass an updated coronavirus relief bill, which would help state governments stabilize finances. So one of the things we try to avoid is cutting essential services like schools, police, fire, transportation. And that's why it's important to have some help from DC in order to stabilize the state's finances that way. Obviously, healthcare through the Department of Human Services, there's almost 400,000 people in Maine that are covered by MaineCare, which without it, there would be a huge hole in the safety net. And it's an important healthcare provider to so many. And that program, fortunately, even though it was expanded recently in 2019, the expansion was 90% paid for by the federal government, so that actually we are in a better financial, the budget for MaineCare is not really significantly increased, even though the number of people covered has increased. So that's a good thing. But, you know, in terms of the overall picture, we need to make sure that we're getting able to provide municipalities and school districts with sufficient monies to operate, and without laying off people would be key.
The money thing, I mean, we obviously deal with it on a daily basis at Orono Brewing Company now, and we're shut down to just to go and delivery beer Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Our kitchen's closed currently and all that. We opted to do it as a company for the safety of our employees and hopefully the guests that would come visit us. But it's back when I was just a normal employee at a different companies that I've worked for underneath a bunch of ownership, it's a lot different than being someone in charge of something and worrying about people's well-being during this pandemic. So it's nice to see that there's at least being ideas talked about helping these people. I just hope we can get something done over the next few weeks and months to get that this can continue and that our economy can grow in the state of Maine and that I can get my employees back to work and have them feel safe. So it's nice to know that you're at least on the forefront fighting for this.
Well, how are things at Orono Brewing Company? I missed you guys downtown. That was a good spot. But
it will come back. It's not going anywhere. It's just right now, you know, it is. It's too small. I you know, until we have some more, you know.
You can really socially distance there.
Yeah, and so we had talked about it. Back in November-ish, mm-hmm. we had talked about, okay, what about January? And we'll figure it out and do like, you know, max of five people, kind of just really crazy stuff. And then once we figured out with the holidays and people not social distancing at family gatherings, we opted to just say, let's just wait. And we'll wait for warmer weather, because we do have, as you know, we have expanded sidewalk there now. So we can apply for some outdoor seating too. So we'll have that space outdoors for people to feel comfortable as well. But, you know, it is what it is. And luckily people are still drinking our beer across the state and now in multiple states. So we have that ability to send beer out the back door per se to the whole state of Maine and to Massachusetts and to Rhode Island and Florida and New York. So it's helped keeping us afloat for sure. We just miss, I mean, to, you know, this week is my fourth anniversary at Orono Brewing Company. And I had mentioned online, I just miss talking to people. I miss you popping in and saying hi and, you know, seeing you meet with someone over there at a table or something. Those are the things I miss. I don't mean financially we'll be okay. I just miss the communication and the networking that people used to do at Orono Brewing Company.
So. Absolutely. Yeah, no, I agree. Miss that in a lot of ways. I think we'll know we've recovered when we start having waterfront concerts again, and people can go to those. I'm looking forward to that. I don't think it's going to be this summer, but it would hopefully as soon as possible. There's no question about it. Just so you know, also on the vaccines, briefing information that we get is that Maine is up to 21,000 vaccines per week. Hopefully we're trying to push it up to in the 30,000s, but at that rate, it's still going to take about 8 months to vaccinate everybody that needs to be vaccinated. So it's going to be through most of this year. I mean, maybe by the fall, we'll have, you know, what they say is herd immunity, but it's going to go at about 20 to 30,000 vaccines a week, which is still significant, but you know, it's just going to take time. The Cross Insurance Center location is one of the successful mass vaccination sites in Maine. I can tell you from having talked to other state senators that we are far ahead of the curve in terms of a site like that in Bangor versus other locations around the state. Are not up and running. Places like York County do not have, which is a county that actually has more people than Penobscot County, does not have a single mass vaccination site yet. Yeah, there are other places that are really behind us. So we're fortunate. You know, the Cross Insurance Center has been good in a lot of ways, and unexpectedly, it's been a great tool for this pandemic to have people. We could still do the voting there because of the size of the place and everything. So we've been fortunate in some ways in Bangor.
I just think back to when the renovation happened at the Kraus Insurance Arena a number of years ago. Anybody who was against it, hopefully they can like look back and go, well, now there's a bunch of great things that have happened there if you were against it in the first place, because we've been able to have voting there and vaccinations there and so on, not to mention the normal life that we get from it with concerts and other events that happened at the place too. But it's nice to see it actually being used. It's not just a big empty building right now, which is nice.
Yeah. No, and obviously I'll be looking forward to seeing concerts again in that place like everyone else. It's a great facility for those things for, north of Boston. It's probably one of the better facilities, including better than some of the current facilities they have in Portland. Mm-hmm. In terms of the layout and everything. You know, we had Elton John there not too long ago. We've had a lot of great concerts there. So I'm looking forward to that happening again.
It surprises me every time I go in there, because I am good friends with the people who run the Bangor Comic Con. And so seeing their event happen in one of the rooms, and then I also used to be a sports writer in Massachusetts. And when I was down there, I covered the UFC. And so I watched the UFC come to Bangor, and I covered that event too. And to see, like, we had, catering in one of the rooms, and we had the media in another, and then you had this event in the big room, and you forget that it's all in the same location. Like, it's all in one place. So it's very, the utilization of the building is great.
So you covered that. Was it the cage match, the UFC?
Yeah.
That was a good event.
It was fun. It was nice to see people there.
Yeah. It was different.
The smallest event they've ever put on, because it's not
what
they don't normally have that kind of events in small places like Bangor.
Yeah. We the guy that's ahead of is from the Bangor area, right, Dana?
Yeah.
No, that was a good event. There's a lot of great events that had been there, and hopefully will be there again. You know, the whole thing is once we get beyond this pandemic, is to see hopefully, economic resurgence, but not just with the waterfront concerts, but that Kraus Insurance Center, the downtown. You know, a lot of places are hurting now because it's hard to do business. So we just have to try to help people as much as we can till we get to that point where things can go back to some level of normality. But I really see Bangor surging again economically once we can get beyond the virus. But that will take at least another 6 to 8 months, I think.
Yeah. And I think hopefully there's not a super spreader event this weekend with the Super Bowl, but hopefully that's a positive sign that bigger events can be something on the near future to see crowds of people together. I think it kind of was uneasy feeling watching it because I'm just not used to big crowds yet. But I hope that it's a sign in the positive direction that we can have some big crowds if we do it right. And maybe the iteration of the next concert that happens at Waterfront or the Kraus Insurance Arena is a little bit smaller, but at least it's something. And that's what I'm looking forward to for sure.
That's a good idea. And that's a good, maybe that can happen. Yeah, no, the Super Bowl was good. I mean, the only sad part is that it wasn't New England, but it felt like a little bit with Brady and Gronkowski, and it was just incredible. So we were able to have the Lombardi Trophy a couple of years ago at the Kraus Insurance Center. I don't know when that's going to be coming back to Bangor anytime soon, but that would also be another thing that would be
Patriots great. Have to win the Super Bowl for it to be worth it to come to Bangor.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
We've been spoiled as New England sports fans for a number of years. So it's nice to see Tom at least solidify himself as the greatest quarterback of all time or greatest player of all time and win a championship. But yes, it would have been nice to see New England in that Super Bowl instead of Tampa Bay. But
it's good. So in terms of trying to stay on top of constituent questions, I do get a lot of questions about different bills. And I try to respond as quickly as I can. One of the things that was proliferating a week or 2 weeks ago was about the taxation issue on the PPP loans, which I immediately came out against because I think it's opposite of what was intended with the money, which was to help businesses get through a hard patch. And many businesses, were able to stay in business because of the money. And I just don't see the point of adding to the burden. So I'm hopeful the governor's office is going to put forward some sort of more some sort of a compromise on that issue that would not tax the first X amount of money, basically exempting, you know, 80 to 90% of the businesses. And if they want, to have something, you know, be more focused on the top 5 or 10%, you know, that may have made out, you know, well, better than most and can afford it. But I think at least 80 to 90% of the small businesses need to be exempted from any type of taxation. I'm hopeful, I'm cautiously optimistic the governor's office is going to see it that way eventually soon. But we have further discussions that are going to happen on that.
It's funny how you say do well. I think that the standard for most of us as businesses is if we at least did what we did last year or a little similar, if we can stay afloat, then you do, that's a well version of 2020 for sure.
Yeah. And when I say well, I'm talking about businesses that probably got over $1 million.
Yes.
In PPP money. So the idea would be to exempt the first. The question is how much we're going to exempt. Mm-hmm. Just so whether it's going to be the first 100,000 or the first 500,000, but after that point, which is still a reduction for even people got $1 million, they're able to deduct the first 500,000. So it's going to be something around in that area that is likely going to happen. So I'm hopeful the governor will put that out, you know, sometime in February, so people can file their tax returns on March or April when they usually do. So that is an important issue for Bangor, for all of Maine. But, you know, in Bangor, we have a lot of retail, large, you know, commercial enterprises that are headquartered here, that have jobs here. So as soon as that came out, I felt that was a red flag for that needed to be dealt with, regardless of party. Mm-hmm. It's something that, you know, impacts my district, you know, pretty heavily. So that was the most important thing. And that's an issue that we're still working on to try to convince the governor's office to reach a compromise on the whole thing.
That's good. I mean, the idea that taxing, give you some money, but we're going to take some of it back doesn't really make a lot of sense in my opinion.
Right. When businesses are continuing to lose money.
Yes.
You know, even beyond the period that they agreed to keep people on. So it just, it was counterproductive. But if we can exempt, like I said, 80 to 90% of the businesses involved, I'll be fairly happy about that.
That's excellent. I mean, so speaking back on Bangor, is there anything specifically otherwise in Bangor that people should be looking forward to or looking at as we get out of this pandemic that you'd like to see?
Well, I'm working on passing a main DOT study for rail. We're going to have a number of passenger rail bills. There are going to be two passenger rail bills that focus on Portland and Lewiston. Portland and Lewiston are talking about a $50 or $60 million commuter rail proposal bond issue. And then there's going to be my proposal and another proposal to expand the or improve or elevate the issue of passenger rail in the state's decision making. Because right now the DOT is not big fans of passenger rail. They haven't made it a priority. So we're trying to make this a statewide priority. And I've said to the legislators from Portland and Lewiston that, you know, we love to support your bills, but you need to support our bills too. And that rail needs to be a statewide thing, not just a regional thing, if it's really going to help out the state. And I've gotten 7 co-sponsors. I've gotten Ben Shipman, who's a senator from Portland, was on the transportation committee. So I have 4 members of the transportation committee that have told me or co-sponsored the bill. I'll need about 4 more to pass the bill and transportation, but I think I'm in a good position, hopefully. So it's been rejected twice by the legislature historically. I wasn't in the legislature when it was considered before, but once in 2017, once in 2001. But I think hopefully we can make the case that it's time to at least do this study, which is a first step to justify federal and state monies to build it. But it's a necessary first step. So I'm looking forward, hopefully, to have that conversation. Mm-hmm. In the legislature, it's already been referred to transportation, and I'm going to be encouraging people to at least write their legislators by email to let them know how they feel about it. It'd be really great to have passenger rail back in Bangor. Bangor is a natural hub for eastern and northern Maine, so I just see it providing a lot of great opportunities and connections.
So is the hope that I'd be able to get on a train in Bangor somewhere and just end up in Portland? Is that the idea? And then,
well, you could get on a train in Bangor, go to Boston.
Okay.
So it would be connecting you from here to Brunswick, then to Portland, then to Boston.
Which is we excellent. I mean, we know, as we talked about Cross Insurance Arena or a center, there's a Cross Insurance Arena as well in Portland. Yeah. And then there's other events that happen in Portland. As I'm talking to Chris Rudolph from Waterfront Concerts this past summer and talking about the size of events that Bangor can get with Waterfront Concerts, there's also some events that just have to happen in Portland, whether it's demographics of who comes to the shows or not. So there's a lot of times where there's back and forth on that. If we want people to come to an event in Bangor from Portland, it would be nice to be able to pop on a train and get up here, or the opposite, to go to an event, or even to go to Boston, go to a Celtics game or whatever it may be.
Right. Go to the Red Sox.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. If you could jump on a train, go to a Red Sox game, that would be great. And also, I do think it will make it easier for people from Portland to come up here for events. Mm-hmm. If they can take the train. For some reason, I'm not sure, the I-95, sometimes it's, we can travel south. Sometimes those people in Portland have a hard time driving north. But if we have a nice, efficient rail system, it might give them some encouragement to come up here.
It's not just people from Portland. My parents live in Connecticut, and they have a little trouble coming north, period. So it's a little harder for everybody to come north. If they maybe they could drive up as far as southern Maine, get on a train, take the rest of the way on the train, maybe they'd be interested in coming up a little bit more often.
Or if they could catch the train in Boston,
yeah,
come straight to Bangor, that would be key. There's no reason we shouldn't have it. I mean, the Bangor metropolitan area is the second largest in the states. It's large. Lewiston's metropolitan area, and I use that in quotes because I know, it's still not a huge area, but it's a little over 100,000. Lewiston, it's 155,000 in the greater Bangor region. So, I mean, we should have the population to support it, and it's also important, to give people extra ways to get connected and stay connected. So that would be helpful.
Is it harder to do things like this? I mean, you mentioned Zoom earlier and talking about doing virtual meetings. Do you feel like it's harder to get this stuff moving because you can't meet in person, or is it just, you just have to deal with it?
Yeah, I mean, it takes away from the personal contact that you might have with legislators, to be able to talk to them, individually, but person to person or small groups, but it's just something you got to deal with. We don't have much of a choice right now. We may go down to Augusta next month to work on the supplemental budget and to confirm some people for different nominations. But I started talking to some of these legislators back in November and December after I got elected, because I didn't know where, this was pretty much a prime issue for me. And I kind of just let them know that, and I've let leadership know that. So hopefully if I keep banging the drums, they will respond. So.
And it's more, the funny thing too, I realized with doing Zoom things, it's more, the only thing you really have to worry about is time. Whereas if you have to, hey, I want to have an hour meeting with you, you just have to have the hour aside for yourself. Whereas if you had to transport yourself somewhere to and fro, all the transportation time is equated in that. So it almost should be easier to get things done via Zoom than the personal connection, obviously.
No, I think that they, as a legislature, we should learn how to incorporate some of the stuff in terms of permanently making things more efficient. I mean, there's no question that we can make it more efficient use of time by doing Zoom instead of requiring everybody to have to be in Augusta on a certain date.
I sat on the events committee for the Maine Brewers Guild for a number of years, and it stunk because most of the breweries in the state of Maine are in Portland. And so if you had a meeting, we had to meet in Portland, and every once in a while we'd get one in Augusta. And then I was one of the few people on the committee who worked a front-facing position. So I was in the tasting room and restaurant most of the time. So they're like, let's have a meeting 4 o'clock on a Friday. And I'm like, that's when my shift starts. I can't do that. And so with the Zoom thing, it's like I ended up stepping away because I couldn't make any of the meetings. And so Zoom and virtual meeting thing, I feel like if we could start doing more like that, then I'd have jump on committees again to make sure I can get some stuff done. But it was just so hard with me. But maybe if I get a passenger rail, I could jump on the train and go down.
No, but you're right. You're right. It definitely has uses for increasing participation, right? And kind of democratizing situations so that not everybody has to be in Portland. Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah. I think that's an advantage, you know, in terms of legislative public hearings, somebody from Aroostook County can participate just as easily as somebody that lives right in Augusta through this technology.
And so in that's the future, you could make things that are like, you have to still be in person for X percentage of meetings or something along those lines.
Yeah. We still have to be in person when the whole legislature is going to vote on something. And we still have to be in person when we vote on a confirmation. But the committee work can be done by Zoom,
which is what we do a lot of things nowadays. And I feel like it's so funny because we could have been doing this for years because video conferencing has been a thing for many, many, many years. But the pandemic pushed us into that nowadays and realized that there's a lot of people who can work remotely. There's a lot of people who can do meetings remotely and all that stuff. So it's really interesting to do this. We could do a recording like this remotely. But it's just interesting to see what will happen after this too. I think a lot of things will have to go back to in person, but there are some things that definitely should be able to be done like this.
Right, exactly. No, I agree.
I wanted to ask a question really quickly too about running for office during a pandemic. How was that? Like, was that an interesting, you know, thing? Because I know you did your spaghetti suppers and all these different things. This wasn't what you planned, right?
No, it was particularly I had a primary. So, and the primary got extended 5 weeks because of the pandemic, which kind of changed my planning quite a bit. It was like doing an extra couple miles on a run that you didn't plan on doing, but it worked out. It was a challenge. I did a lot of phone calling instead of knocking on doors. I did a fair amount of mailing. We really phone canvassed everybody we could during the primary because it's really the only way to reach out. And you know, I developed, you know, a good following among social media. You know, during a pandemic, people are going to get their information online or from social media or the rest of it. The old ways of campaigning, particularly during a pandemic, aren't going to work. You know, newspaper ads are nice, but people are going to go on social media or stuff like that for a lot of their information or advertising. So it was a campaign that was based on phone calls, social media. You know, we had a lot of signs out and some mailings. The thing, like I said, extending the primary of 5 weeks just, you know, kind of added to the work that I did. And so during the general election, it was a little bit different because there was a presidential election going to happen in November, so I didn't have to focus my efforts so much on turnout because people were going to turn out anyway. But we did a lot of the same stuff. But Yeah, definitely during the primary, it was totally different. And, you know, you just had to roll with the punches pretty much.
I mean, thinking back on it too, I mean, you were a city council member for what, 12 years?
Yeah.
Is this something you wanted to do for a while? Was you know, main state senator, or was this just something that after you like doing the city council thing that you decided this is the next direction for you?
Well, yeah, I think at my last term on city council, I decided I wanted to do this because Senator Gratwick was going to be term limited, so there'd be an opening. Plus, I thought I had learned a lot on the city council on local issues that would help me in Augusta, which really do help me in Augusta in terms of knowing what's important for Bangor. You know, and I saw how much, you know, we rely on the state for different things, including funding, that I felt this was a natural progression.
Did it make it easier that your kids are grown up? Like if your kids were younger, is something that you wouldn't have taken too much time to do?
Yeah, it made it a lot easier that they were in college, and even though they came back from college, and now one of them's going back to college this week, so that'll be interesting. And the other one will be staying with us for a little while longer. But yeah, no, the fact that they're older makes it a lot easier. You know, when you're a dad and you're going to find this out, you know, and the kids are, you know, 3, 5, or 7 or whatever, you know, you're going to be busy. You're going to be a busy, busy person. So going back and forth to Augusta would not have been popular in my household as a choice.
And that's something I mentioned when I had Ben Sprague on. I had Ben Sprague on this summer, and we talked about, or this fall, I should say, we talked about him and his term obviously was up for the Bangor City Council. And I said, well, what's next for you? And he said, you know, he's taking a break now and maybe one day, but he has young kids. So that's the other part about it. Exactly the same thing I mentioned to you about the being a father is it would take a lot of his time. And maybe this time it's just for him to focus on letting his dad be the city council member for now and support his dad, and then just, you know, be a father and live his life separately. But he says, don't rule it out that he could go further in politics. But right now,
Ben is a great guy, and I served with him for 5 or 6 years, and he'll go far in politics. I think he's smart to do what he's doing. He's got a wonderful family. You know, when they're older, he'll have plenty of time. But he has a lot to contribute. And I enjoyed working with him for 6 years on the city council, and we're still friends and we still talk occasionally. He's got a lot to contribute, but he's a great dad and a great husband. I love the pictures of his kids, and they're very cute.
It makes me happy because I feel like one of the things I mentioned off the top of this recording was that I didn't really get into politics or anything like this until I was in my 30s, and kind of disappointed me. And one of the things that I want to at least instill in my children as they grow up is to at least pay attention something to it, because this is what their future is, and you can help impact that by either getting out there and voting or just at least helping someone. But having someone like Ben, who is in his mid-30s, to be a city council member and have that youthfulness, I should say, to him, it helps me know that someone even younger later on can be this person and help get people into politics or get into at least what's going on in the world at a younger age. Because I would have loved to have known really what was going on when I was 21 than I do now when I'm 34, because I feel like I'm behind. I feel like there's a lot I've missed. There's a lot of things I could have done to help impact elections or, you know, just things in general. So I hope more younger people get into things like city council or smaller city offices and things like that, because I hope it can help the future of our country and our state.
But don't feel like you've missed it. I think that the fact that you're involved now is is all that's really required. So, you know, and I think that's great that you have that feeling, because I think it's important, whatever age you are, to, you know, be involved and make a difference. You know, when we're in our 20s, you know, we're focused on other things. Okay. So that's natural. So, but I think, you know, you're becoming a dad, and you know, you're not old yet. You're still very young. Yeah. So you have a lot of time to contribute to make a difference. So,
but it's a small thing. It's like, I didn't even like a small, just teaching the way the government works is something I'd like to be able to teach people and my son in general, because like, it wasn't until you know, last year's impeachment hearings and this, how the even Senate and how the even House worked. Like, in my opinion, it was like something that I never gave a crap about, to be blunt. And now it's like, oh, that's how that works, or that's who does what, or that's how bills pass. And I feel like that's something that I don't know if I just didn't pay attention at Bangor High School, or if it was just something that really wasn't driven home to me. And it's just something that I want to be able to teach my kids, that this is how bills are made and this is how things are getting done in the government.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. Yeah. So, Ben has a lot to contribute to, and I think that he's going to go far, and I'm a fan of his.
I'm looking forward to what he does next and see that too. I'm also looking forward to what Joe Baldacci can get done being a Maine state senator. And it's cool to see that. You know, how many years do you, how much is a Maine state senator? What's your term?
Well, it's voted on every 2 years.
2 years, okay.
And you can serve up to 4 terms altogether. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And so this is my first term, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we had a lot of ways to go. I mean, there's a lot of important issues in Bangor. On the Health and Human Services works out as a committee because there's so many healthcare workers in Bangor. We have 2 major hospitals. We have large part of the healthcare economy is here. So it works out for Bangor. Plus we have Dorothea Dix. Mm-hmm. Hospital, which is under that, all the child protective services. So there's a lot that impacts people in Bangor and Herman through the Department of Human Services.
I really appreciate you coming on. So is there something people can do to help you get things done in Augusta here in Bangor, like on the ground, or is there somewhere they can direct them?
The most important thing people can do is to call their legislators on different issues, or send me letters to distribute to other legislators, just to speak out in support of legislation. So I'll be available. I'm having a Facebook Live town hall February 11th that's been advertised at 5:30, which is Thursday, but I'm going to have a town hall thing once a month and people can check in with me, or they can call my office at 945-3333 anytime. So I want to be as accessible as I can, but people can be very helpful by speaking up and talking to their legislators, and if they live in Bangor, to their House members as well. So there's a lot of different ways. Hopefully we can mobilize public opinion for good things.
I'm happy because like I mentioned earlier, with Ben Sprague being on city council, you being here, and I've gotten to know you a little bit over the years being an Orono Brewing Company, and I went to high school with Ben. But the idea that I moved back to Bangor in 2016, really with no hopes of Bangor being what I wanted it to be, that Bangor was not for me. I moved back, long story short, with an ex, and she wanted to move back, and I was loving Massachusetts, did not want to come back. Now I feel like the greater Bangor area, I'm never going to leave. Fell back in love with Bangor, and I hope that people can love Bangor like I do, because it's a great place to grow up. It's a great place to raise a family, in my opinion. There's a lot to do, a lot more to offer than the early 2000s when I left. And so it's definitely a place to be. So I really hope people can help push things forward in this city, in this area, for sure.
Right, absolutely. And that's great. Oh, we're happy to have you back.
I'm happy to be back. And
Keep brewing the beer, and people will continue to welcome you.
I'm not in a bad industry to have people like who I am, because absolutely, I can give them beer. So.
Exactly.
If I show up at places and I don't have beer, they're always like, did you come? But, I like this. I wanted to keep it short and sweet on this thing with you and talk about some stuff. And I'd love to have you come back on too at some point to talk the next bill or project you're working on.
Yeah. I appreciate that, Justin. This is great.
If I see you when I'm walking downtown Bangor at some point, I'll wave and I'll try to get your attention this time. But you can find Joe Baldacci. You have a Facebook page for your Maine state senator as well. You can find that online. People can find that too. And they can obviously email you. You have a legislation email that I'll put online too for people to find. So I really appreciate it, Joe. And keep up the good work. And I hope to see you again.
Thank you. It's great. Talk to you later.
Thank you.